Greetings, everyone. Welcome to House Mountain Views and to the Boone series. Boone is an East Tennessee teenager on his own at 16 and facing long odds. His daddy taught him rage and not to trust anybody. His mother taught him to keep his head down and hope nobody notices him. Now they're both gone, and what he knows about making it as an adult is next to nothing. He's basically a decent kid, but he's carrying around so much anger and insecurity that sometimes it's hard for him to do the right thing, even when he can figure out what that is. Pushing Back, Matching Scars, and Keeping Secrets, the three books in the series so far, are all written from Boone's point of view. My name is Jim Hartzell, and I hope you enjoy getting to know Boone as much as I have. Thanks for joining us. Pushing Back, Book 1 in the Boone series, by Jim Hartzell. Chapter 12. When I get down off the porch, I stop and look back at the house. He told me to do something. What was it? Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to look under the lid of one of the shine jars I've still got when I get home. Okay. I can remember that. I get home and collapse on the couch. It's not much past the middle of the day, and I'm ready for a nap. As I'm dozing off, I wonder if Mr. Everett's taking an afternoon nap, too. We're like the Mexicans that work out in the fields here. What's that called? Siesta. That's it. Siesta. Except I never see those guys take part of the afternoon off, and Daddy was always complaining about how they made him look bad, never stopping, not even for a drink of water. Just work, work, work. I wake up about an hour later with a headache, but at least my head is more or less clear. I sit up and try to remember my visit with old man Everett. He knew about Shine. He knew about the still. He never said so straight out, but I could tell he knew. And he told me to do something. Now, the jar lids on the shine I've got in the kitchen, I'm supposed to look under the lid. I go into the kitchen and get one of the full jars and unscrew the lid. When I turn it over, it's just shiny metal like all the other lids I've seen. Then, right next to the rubber ring that runs around the outside, I see scratches in the metal. I carry it out the kitchen door, into the afternoon sun, and angle it so I can see what they are. They're blocky, like they were scraped there with a pocket knife, but they're readable. GAM12 and a star. The rest of the jars have the same thing scratched into the underside of the lids. I put all the lids back on tight and put the jars in a cabinet that's got Mama's canning jars in it. Half a dozen jars plus the one I'm working on, plus whatever's up there if I can get the old man to show me how it's done. The more I think about this, the more excited I get. I go back to the cabinet and pull out all Mama's empty jars and line them up on the counter. There's 18 of them. That's 4.5 gallons, just about enough for everything that's up there at the still. Like I know how much that'll make. Yeah, I bet I could sell this stuff. I know I could sell this stuff. No way I'd sell it to those kids at school. They don't know how to keep their mouth shut about anything. Somebody else. First, though, I need to learn how to use that still. I'm pretty sure Mr. Everett can help me. But I think I need to give him a day or two to settle down before I go back up. An hour or so later, the phone rings, and I pick it up, trying to sound like I don't feel good in case it's somebody from school. It's the middle of the evening, and I don't think anybody's going to bother me at this time of day, but better safe than sorry. Hello? Boone, is that you? You sound awful. I can't figure out who it is, but the voice sounds familiar. Since I don't know, I keep up the pretense. Yeah, kind of a rough afternoon. Is that why you weren't at school today? I was thinking you just decided to skip. Again.
Nancy. I finally figure out who it is and drop the act. Well, maybe not that rough an afternoon. I was looking in on old man Everett and time got away from me. She laughs. Yeah, I bet. It's okay, Boone. Whatever. I wondered if you were sick, that's all. She pauses for a minute. You don't have to explain anything to me. I'm feeling pretty good now, actually. Something happened today. She sounds like she can't wait to tell me something, so I just wait. Don't you want to know what it is? I guess, but school stuff is pretty boring, you know. Nancy laughs again. She's got kind of a nice laugh. Nothing to do with school. I didn't go today. Know why? I don't know. You sick? I mean, for real sick? Nope. There's a long pause. I got my license, and Mom said I could go anywhere in the county as long as I was the only one in the car. That's great, Nancy, really. I'm wondering why she's telling me this. She's a smart kid, good grades and all that, and her family isn't rich, but they do okay. So I can go pretty much anywhere in the county now. I finally get it. Maybe I could show you around the farm sometime. Everywhere except that one field and the still. The pool might be nice. I've thought off and on about taking a girl up there, but never had anybody in mind. I always thought they'd have a great body and almost nothing on. And beyond that, I hadn't given it much thought. I know that there's guys in school that could talk any of the girls up there, but I'm not one of them. Well, maybe you could. And now I don't know what to say. I'm deciding that Nancy might be somebody I'd like to show the pool to, but I don't know how to do this kind of thing. So, what are you doing tomorrow? It takes me a second to realize that I said that. Nancy doesn't hesitate. I can't give you a ride back from school, but I can tell Mom you need help with your English, which I'm sure you do. How about right after school? Okay. Okay, then. See you tomorrow. She hangs up, and I just sit there for a minute. Then I think, I wonder if she drinks Shine. That Wednesday, I don't go to school like usual, but I do check and make sure I have another one of those frozen pizzas in case Nancy is still here when it's time to eat. The place looks okay, so I go check the pool. The path is a little grown up, but easy, at least for me. Creek and pool are the same, just as nice, just as peaceful as I remember. And I'm thinking it's a really good place to take a girl. I decide to sit down for a minute, and before I know it, it's past time for school to be out, and I dash down the path and into the backyard just in time to see Nancy pulling out into the road. I wave and shout as loud as I can, and she just keeps driving. She gets to the top of the hill and stops. I'm still standing in the yard, and I guess she sees me because she pulls into the Jenkins driveway and turns around. When she gets back in the yard, I'm standing there at the kitchen door. She gets out in jeans and a t-shirt that says, Eat a Peach, on it. And I guess she notices me staring at her chest. She blushes a little, folds her arms across the writing and says, Dad used to like a band, the Allman Brothers. I'd never heard of them, but he's too fat to wear his old t-shirts now. Oh, I say, I've never heard of them either. I'm thinking what a stupid thing to put on a shirt, but I don't say it because Nancy looks good in a t-shirt. She's bigger than a lot of girls at school, but not so big they look fake like Samantha. Sam's a senior, and word is all the seniors have had a close-up look at her. I'm trying to stop staring at Nancy, and I have to make myself look somewhere else, so I point to the kitchen door and say, You want something to drink or anything? That'd be nice, she says. Sounds like she's relieved that I can do something besides stare at her boobs. Okay, come on in, I say, and remember to let her go first. She takes a look around, and I can tell she's trying to think of something polite to say. Finally, she says, I should say hello to your mother. Is she in the other room? She's not here, I say, and watch her face change. Not here. I thought she didn't have a job and pretty much stayed home. She left, went to her sister's, and took Hannah with her. She and Daddy had a fight. He took off, and then she left, and they're both gone for good, as far as I know. So we're here alone? Yep, just you and me. She gets a real funny look on her face and finally says, "Well, I didn't expect that. Maybe I should go." "Why?" I say. She gives me a look. "You know why? My mom would kill me if she knew." "I'm not going to tell her. Are you?" Nancy looks at me right in the eyes and says, "If you think I'm going to risk getting in that much trouble, you're so wrong. I mean, I like you, but I just got this license, Boone. I'm not going to get it taken away already." I nod. Can't really argue with that, even though I want to. I had the whole thing built up in my head, her following me up to the pool. You know, maybe she'd slip on a rock and I'd put my hand out to catch her. She'd hold on to keep from slipping and no use thinking about it, I tell myself. Nothing's going to happen today. No kiss, no getting under that shirt, nothing. I feel myself getting angry and I go to the door and open it hard. "Guess you better get out of here then." I'm sorry, Boone. I want to stay, but... "Don't want you in any trouble, just so you know. Anytime you come up here, it'll just be you and me, so I guess I won't see you anymore." I'm holding the door and looking down the steps, just waiting for her to leave. "Okay, then. See you at school," she says, a little sad. "I guess," I say, and watch her go back to her car.
I hope you enjoyed this installment of the Boone series. The background music you hear is "The Wind That Shakes the Barley," played on a Masterworks hammer dulcimer. If you can't wait to find out what happens next, or you want a copy for yourself, the Boone series and all my other books are available on my website, housemountainviews.com. I also encourage you to support any independent bookstores in your area. Stop by and ask for the title you're interested in. If they don't have it, they can probably order it for you. Thanks for spending your time here at House Mountain Views. Y'all take care of yourselves and stay in touch.